Turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. Amen. Father, we thank you today that you are a good, 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 good God. And Father, that we hear your voice.
Thank you, Lord.
And that you spoke to the prophet Isaiah, and you speak to us, because that same spirit that was in Isaiah is the same spirit that's in us. But in Isaiah, the Spirit of God came and went, but in us, the Spirit of God abides, just like it did on Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord abides. Amen. So we give Him thanks and we give you praise, O God, that you abide on us and that we hear your voice. And when we hear the truth, our spirits rejoice and jump up and down and are excited to hear you, because we are connected to heaven. We are constantly connected to heaven. But even though the earth has kind of a loud voice, we are constantly connected to heaven. And we want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us so that we daily walk with you. And we hear your voice, and we are declarers of the truth. We're not declarers of bad news, but we're declarers of good news. Let us not meditate nor disseminate news that's evil. Not to not acknowledge that there is evil in the world, but to say that God is over all. So we give you praise and we give you thanks for this message today, a message on joy and a message on truth, which declares that you knew from the foundation of the world that you what you had planned to send a Redeemer. And we give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, here in Isaiah chapter 9, it says in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." That's all I'm going to read for the moment. "For unto us a child is born." For unto us. So this is a gift. This child that Isaiah is referring to is a gift to us. Now here, I've got this baby here in my pocket. Okay, and there she is. There she is. That's Aria. And she's a gift to my son and his wife, right? And she's smiling. I'll bring her to you and you can see her smile. Because you've seen a baby smile before, haven't you? Oh, well, yeah. You only get so much of a good thing. And so this baby is a beautiful baby. We were with her all night the other night. And she actually slept, and it was a wonderful thing. And
praise the Lord.
Janet was closer to her than I was. But Janet got to sleep, so it was pretty amazing. And her name is Aria. So she sounds like, oh, you know, like, you know, a song. But Aria is a beautiful baby. She's a gift. She's a gift to my son and my daughter, and by extension to me and Janet. And she's a terrific little girl. But here in this scripture, he says, "For unto us." So he's talking, but this is the prophet speaking to the people. "It's unto us a child is born, and unto us a son." Well, in this case, it happens to be a son. Mine, ours is a daughter. "Unto us a son is given." All right? And we're going to talk about that son in just a minute, but let's talk about where the son came from. Over here in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis, wow, that's a long way back. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And he says here in this scripture, in this verse, that this is God talking to the serpent. And he says, I'll start in 14. In Genesis 3:14, he says, "So the Lord said to the serpent, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this," he had deceived Eve, "you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life." Well, then, if that's not bad enough, let me read the next verse. "And I will put enmity," a constant division, "between you and the woman," the mother of mother of children, the human woman, the woman whom God made from the man. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed," your babies and her babies. "He shall bruise your head, yet you shall bruise his heel." Well, how many know if you got a busted head, it's a little worse than a bruised heel, right? If somebody gets you in the head, it probably could be fatal. He says, "He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So that's the first. That is the first prophecy regarding the Messiah. That's the first prophecy regarding the Messiah, and also is the first prophecy of Jesus' victory, isn't it? It's the prophecy of Jesus' victory over the devil. He shall bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel. He meaning the devil.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. I think I got it right. Anyway, Jesus is going to bruise the head of the devil, but the devil is going to bruise his heel. And we know that because Jesus rose again. He was bruised. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. This is in Isaiah 53. "And by his stripes we are healed." This is Isaiah guy. He's got a lot. He's got a lot about the Savior. Doesn't he? Yes. Say it again.
Bruising is a nice way to put it.
That's a nice way to put it. That's right. Yeah. The devil is, all of his power is gone by faith, because of faith in the Lord Jesus. The only power the devil still has is what? Power to deceive. He's got power to deceive. No matter what God promises, the devil has a power to deceive if you'll believe it. But you know what? You have power to overcome if you'll believe it. Amen? Like the scripture we had up here this morning was Romans 4:6. It says, "For the by works, you do not receive salvation by works, but only by faith." Amen? "For by work shall no man be," is close to it, "no man shall be justified by works, but by faith alone." And then the devil began to turn that around, and the church for years was justified by works. Works. And all the burden was put on people. All the burden was put on us. But God from the very outset said, it's by faith. Remember the covenant with Abraham? The covenant with Abraham was not by works, but the covenant with Abraham was by faith. By faith alone. And how did that begin? "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government," this is continuing in chapter 9, verse 6 of Isaiah, "and the government will be upon his shoulder, The government, the leadership, rulership shall be upon his shoulder. He will bear all the weight of the government, of governing. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name. He'll have a bunch of names. Jesus is going to have a bunch of names. This is the Son. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And on this son, on his shoulder, will the government be. That is, he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will rule over all, and he will give glory to his Father, who has designed this entire plan. And his name shall be called, all kinds of things, Wonderful. You know, some people call it Wonderful Counselor. Well, here in English, it's got a comma right there. He's just going to be called Wonderful. Praise the Lord. In the Greek, or in the, pardon me, in the Hebrew, yeah, there's no punctuation here. Wonderful Counselor. So it's all going to be in context. Well, all of these are separated individual items, individual titles. His name will be called Wonderful. Hallelujah. Just stop right there. Let's stop right there and worship God. Amen. Lord. His name should be called Wonderful. Oh. Wonderful. Stop right there. Hallelujah. Wonderful. He doesn't have to be a wonderful counselor. He can just be wonderful. Oh, his name is to be called Wonderful. Just worship him. Just meditate on that right there. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Amen. A lot of people want to, you know, give him a function. No, he doesn't need a function. God himself does not need a function. God is. What's his name? I am.
What is the scripture reference for that?
Isaiah 9:6. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. Well, these are names, you know, the name is a description of what comes to you when you have this person in your presence. Or see this person, or something that has happened. Many names were given because of things that happened. Like here later in this next chapter, or the previous chapter, there was Isaiah had a son. Isaiah had a son, and his name was Mahershalal Hasbat. Can you say that? I didn't even look at it. Mahershalal Hasbat. Junior, no. And it talked about, and the name of this son had to do with this book that he was writing. So they gave them the name, they gave the name as the title of the book so that people would remember, oh yeah, that's Isaiah's son, that name there. You know, and so they want to go read the book and find out, because they knew Isaiah was this big prophet guy. So it's kind of a tease, you know, on what this book. Well, the book was about Israel being destroyed. Oh, let's go get that book. Well, you wouldn't get that book if it had the title Destruction of Israel. You know, you wouldn't get it. But Mahershalal Hasbat. Let's get that book. But the book, it kind of increased circulation, because this whole passage is talking about the kings that are going to come and destroy Israel. But he's reminding you that he's already made provision. Just like in Genesis chapter 3, in all of the bad stuff, you know, oh my gosh, we sinned, ate the tree, we told you ate the tree that God said don't eat, then we're getting kicked out of the, I mean, there's a lot of shakeup going on in that garden, right? In Genesis chapter 3, got kicked out. You know, flaming cherubim at the door of the temple. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, having a tornado come through your house, or having a fire burn your house down. I mean, it's a big mess, right? It's just a big mess. But in the middle of the big mess, God always makes a promise. Right? In the middle of the big mess, God's always making a promise. So right now, I want you to thank God for His promise in the middle of your big mess.
Yes.
Because people are looking at the mess. People are looking at the disaster. Let's look at this world and see, or look at this nation and look and see. Yeah, now are there things that God tells you to do? Yeah, He says over in, if you remember over in Jeremiah 29, they were in the middle of a big mess, right? You remember that? Over in Jeremiah 29. Oh, it sounded like I know the plans that I have for you. Well, that was the end of the, that was kind of the last verse of that passage. But the beginning of it was, hey, you're being hauled off into Babylon and you could be there for 70 years. Don't complain. And then finally we got around to, you know, finally we get around to, you know, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, you know, plans to give you a hope in the future. But all that kind of happened at the end of it, because when you were in Babylon, what did He tell you to do? Build houses, marry off your kids, you know, plant gardens. In other words, plan on being here a while. Plan on, you know, buy the house. Plant a garden, you know, be there for a, plan on being there for a while. Don't plan on getting out of this mess too soon, because there's 70 years ahead of you. He said, but rejoice. Plan ahead to move forward with your life. Because if you're going to plant a garden, if you're going to build a house, if you're going to, you know, pray for, he said, pray for the peace of that city. Well, it's an evil city. He said, pray for the peace of that city. That's Babylon. I want to pray for the destruction of it. Well, you're going to live there a while. Why don't you pray for the peace of it? Why don't you run for office? Well, you know, of course, they didn't run for office then. But, you know, do whatever you do to make the place a glory. Right? What would you do? Build a house, plant a garden, and pray for the peace of the city. You do all of these things. Isn't that what you do? So in the meantime, what he's saying, read this book about Maher Shalal Hasbat, and with that funny name, read that guy and rejoice in the Lord while you're going, right? Even in the middle of this world of Joe Biden, you know, in the world of, you know, all the border going out of control, you know.
Lord.
Believe God, rejoice. Don't complain. Don't complain. Listen. Rejoice. 2 Corinthians 4:8. Think on these things. Amen? That's what you're doing. Thinking on these things. Whatsoever things are good. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. Think on these things. If there be any virtue. If there be any praise. Think on these things. Hallelujah. You know where he says, and the God of peace will be with you. Did you know, because the Holy Spirit is in you, that the God of peace is with you? He's constantly with you. Let's look here back at these scriptures here. And that's because God, His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. This is unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And here's the kind of government we're going to have. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. He's God, not them. Them, not God. He is. Even when it appears to be a bad situation, He's good. And see, what we have a tendency to do is look at the news and complain. That's why the news has such great advertising. I mean, they make lots of money. All the big companies advertise on the news. Why? We've got to tune it in. We've got to tune in the news. That's why you got more news than ever before, right? Remember back in the day when it was 5:30? You know, 5:30. I remember 5:30, you know. And Walter Cronkite and, you know, Dan Rather and... who's the other guy? You know, Roger Mudd. Yeah, him too. Chet Huntley and David Brinkley. See, praise the Lord. All of these guys, you know, they're all out there. But they only had 30 minutes. 30 minutes to depress you. Then they lightened up a little bit and gave you at 6 o'clock you had the local news. You had all the murders and all the, you know, things that were going on there, you know. And then finally after that, then you got to some Andy Griffith, you know, after that was over. You know, finally got feeling good about yourself. So God is doing so many great things, but advertising goes a big, really, really somehow makes heyday on bad news, doesn't it? And that's why you hear a lot of it. But I'll say this, I'll read this half of scripture. It shall not be so among you. It shall not be so among you. Because you don't listen to the devil. Do you? Certainly don't take what he has and take what he says and put it in your pocket and just pull it out and look at it five times a day. Like this here. 6, 7, 8 times. I'll look at my baby. You know, I'll look at my baby 5, 6 times a day. But I'm not looking at what the devil says, because what the devil says is a lie, isn't it? He's the father of lies. He's the devil. He's a liar. Jesus said it. He's a liar, and he's the father of lies. You are of your father, the devil. He would talk to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were full of the law. They were full of, you know, things you had to do. Boy, you'd think those were the godly guys. No, they're liars. They're of their father, the devil. It's because what they do is they put burdens on you. Jesus isn't putting a burden on you, is he? He doesn't put a burden on me. He says, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He's everlasting. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Father forever. He's the Father forever. This is the child that we have coming up here. I mean, we celebrated here in December. He could have been born at Rosh Hashanah. He might have could have been born at Passover. We're just not sure. I mean, the Bible doesn't tell you. It doesn't tell you, you know, when that was. But he's saying that these are the names that belong to him. Right? Amen. If you studied it enough, maybe you could find it. But I'm not going to say it, because people have been studying it for thousands of years and they still don't know. Well, when was Jesus born?
Didn't we just look at when the taxes were collected back then?
Well, then that would be April.
Tell us that.
Well, Pastor Jim said April 15th.
No, the taxes back when Jesus.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, back April 15th. He said that date was ensconced in... For many years, that time of the year was a year when taxes would have been given. The reason I can think of is that's when crops come in. Is that's when you have the most money. And when people have money, you know, that's when you ask for taxes. You bill for taxes when people have money. That's when you bill for them. And so that would be the time to do it. And in their day, when they would travel, you know, you would make travel time a good time of the year to travel. You know, traveling in the winter is probably not the greatest time to travel. You know, even in that part of the world, you know, they actually do get snow sometimes over there in some places. You know, so it's not the best time. Winter is never the best time of year to travel. So, pray, I mean, the Bible said it. It said, pray that your journey not be in the winter. Right. So, you pray that your journey is not in the winter. But, could he have been born near Passover? Yes. Could he have been born near the Feast of Tabernacles? Yes. So, he says here, let's keep reading. Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. He is the moniker of peace. Peace is evidentiary in his reign. That's what we like. Amen? He is the Prince of Peace. This child is all of these things. and of the increase of his government. Now he's talking about the government that's going to be on his shoulder. Government's going to be on his shoulder. Rulership, leadership, authority is going to be on him. And of the increase, now watch this. If the increase of his government and peace. So increase of two things, government of his rule and the increase of peace. Both of these, there shall be no end. No end of his, not of his government and peace, but of the increase of it. Isn't that powerful? How can that be? You'd think peace is peace. Oh, fine, I've got peace. Or government is government. All authority is given unto me. Go ye therefore. Preach the gospel to every creature. Teach all nations. So you have absolute authority and absolute and complete peace. But he says, of the increase. So Lord, let's meditate. I want to meditate on that. Father, thank you for telling me what that means. I don't even know what that looks like. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end.
Hallelujah.
I mean, that's a phenomenal promise, is the increase of these two things, authority and peace, there shall be no end. Those are the things you can't even fathom. You can't even postulate that. You can't even figure that out. Because in eternity, there are things, the laws of nature do not apply. The laws of nature as we know them do not apply. So increases of things that we don't even know how they would increase past absolute. We don't know how that would happen, right? Yeah, it is what it is, if it's complete. But no, there's an increase that continues. And so we thank God for it. Yes?
Let's talk about something that distinguishes his kingdom is that throughout history, then always nations rise and fall. There's
yes.
No kingdom lasts forever.
Yes.
It's always.
Yes.
An end. Mm-hmm. And so this kingdom, though, had no end.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Amen. Well, yeah, you read the next verse, didn't you?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't.
And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Of the increase.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. The kingdom itself will have no end. And that's why? Because it's going to continue to increase. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end.
Wow.
Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward. From that time forward. And how does this happen? The zeal of the Lord of hosts.
Glory.
Will perform this. Whoa, when that guy's zealous, get out of the way. You know, have you ever been zealous about anything? You ever been excited about anything? We're going to get this done. We're going to get this room painted. You know, we're going to get this house built. Janet and I were trying to get this house built because we don't know anything about building a house. We're zealous. Boy, then God's zealous about this kingdom. He is on fire. We talk about being on fire, don't we, in the church? God's on fire for this thing. He is on fire for this kingdom. It's coming, people. It is coming. It's already, it's here by faith. Amen. It's here by faith. And we're enjoying it because we don't look at the things which are seen. We look at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are what? Temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's where we live. Do you know you live in eternity right now? If you're born from above, if you're born of Christ Jesus, He's on the inside of you by faith, you're already living in eternity. You started eternity the day you were born again. Amen? And death isn't even a bump in the road. Death's a starting line. You just drop off the you drop off the shackles. You drop off the body. You know, we think that's a bad thing. That's a good thing. It's to drop off this sick, diseased, wore out body. We dump it off. You know, we drop it off and we just kind of keep living. You know, living in the presence of God. You know, but this is all we know in this world, so it's kind of like we're real preservative of it, you know. Doctor, I feel bad. How can I fix it? You know, and we give you all kinds of pills and all kinds of things to try to help you get by in this world. You know, try to extend the extend this tent a little further. Try to patch the tent, right? Because that's what this tent, you know, gets the Bible calls it a tent. So it's got gets holes in it, you know, gets thin in places, you know. So, but he's saying, he said, I've already given you life eternal. If you're in me and I'm in you, I've already given you life eternal. Are you enjoying life eternal right now? Say, yes, I am. I'm enjoying this. This is powerful. So good. Now, don't look at the body, how the body is, you know, falling apart. No, that's okay. I mean, you know, if you're going to stay in it for a little while longer, yeah, get it fixed up. It'd be okay. Yeah, it'll be okay. Get it fixed up, you know, as much as they can. That's okay. You know, or not. You know, I don't believe in them doctors, you know. Well, that woman, she said she had, she'd suffered many things of many physicians. She come to Jesus, yet and yet she was none the better. Well, if you're none the better, then yeah, okay, Jesus, this is it. You're my only hope. Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. No, Jesus, he's your only hope. Jesus is your only hope, amen? So, what you want to thank him for is health, amen? Doctors, you're fine. Doctors are fine. Maybe you have a Christian doctor. Maybe he's no good. I don't know. So, pray. He'll pray with you. Maybe he's a Christian doctor. Maybe he's no good, but he'll pray with you. Well, thank God. You need somebody to pray with you. Amen. What I'm saying is to enjoy right now eternal life. Meditate upon that right now. That you are living in a body, but your body is going to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks, well, you go read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 will tell you how your body is going to drop off. Right? Mm-hmm. Yep. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Chapter 4. Yeah, it'll tell you how, you know, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, how things are going to come to pass, that Jesus is going to come again. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then they are who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So all of those things are taking place. All right? Okay, praise the Lord. So right now, he says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Okay, I want to read over, and let's look over at Daniel for a minute. Daniel chapter, where is he? Daniel chapter, well, before we do that, I'm going to read Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7, back up a little bit. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That word Emmanuel means God with us. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's the child. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This virgin is going to bear a son. This is right here, two chapters over. This virgin is going to bear a son, and his name shall be called God with us. His name shall be called in 9:6. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, God with us, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2. Come Come on, Daniel. Remember Daniel in the lion's den. Okay, this is Daniel chapter 2. This is where you remember Daniel was called to help the king out. He's called to help the king out, then the king had a dream. But the king couldn't remember the dream. So when the king couldn't remember the dream, he called all of his magicians and all of his soothsayers, and they couldn't help him. And then somebody said, hey, there's this guy Daniel of the Jewish people. And he can do that kind of thing. So he's Daniel, chapter 2, verse 27. And Daniel answered in the presence of the king, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men and the astrologers and the magicians and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. And it goes to describe the vision of the statue, you remember. And the statue was gold on the top and silver on the breastplate and bronze on the hips and then iron on the legs and iron and clay in the feet and the toes, right? You remember that vision? I'm not going to read it all. All right, you can go read it yourself there in Daniel chapter 2. He says, this is the dream, verse 36. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. And he says, you, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And whenever the children of men dwell and the beasts of the field and the birds of heaven, he has given them into your hand and made you a ruler over them all. And you are the head of gold on this statue, right? You are the head of gold on this statue. I always like to point out the fact that he's the head of gold in the statue. And then he also begins to talk about other kingdoms, right? But after you, shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours. Then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters all things, and like iron that crushes, and that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. Whereas you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw in the iron mixed with the ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. And as you saw, now watch this. And as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. You remember what happened in the Tower of Babel?
Yeah.
What happened?
Language
divided. Division. God always, when men rise up together, God always divides them, doesn't he? To protect them. Because if they have, there will be no stopping what they will do if you let them continue. So he allowed this kingdom of iron to be divided. See, it's the strongest kingdom ever. Strongest. And he let them divide up. Verse 44. This is Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. In the days of these kings, from Nebuchadnezzar to Rome, God will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Back to verse 44 of Daniel 2. In the days of these things, of kings, God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Insomuch as you saw that a stone was cut without hands. Now let's read about that. I want you to back up here. Here's the part of the vision I did not read before. Back up to verse 34. You watched, this is to the legs of iron and the feet partly of iron and clay. Verse 34, backing up to in chapter Daniel 2, 34. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, a stone, which struck the image. So we had this whole image of all these kingdoms, and all of a sudden here's a stone cut without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. The very end of this kingdom. Then the iron and the clay, the bronze and the silver and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That stone is Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Deuteronomy 32 talks about the rock that followed them through the wilderness. The rock that followed them. Jesus was the rock. How about the rock that water came out of when Moses hit the rock, struck the rock? How many know we struck the rock? The rock was stricken for us. That's this rock, this stone, cut out without hands and destroyed all the kingdoms of the earth, and it became a great mountain and filled all the earth. This is our King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is the King, the child who was born, the Son who was given, and His name is Wonderful. Just wonderful. What's your name? Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. So back over at verse 44, where we read about halfway down. And the kingdoms shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. This is the kingdom that became the great mountain that Daniel prophesied. And he says at the end of his interpretation that it will consume all these kingdoms and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch, verse 45, Daniel 2:45, insomuch as you saw that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, and the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass. What did he say? What will come to pass? What will come to pass after this? This dream is, the dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his, what did he do? He fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. And it goes on, they give glory to Daniel, you know. And Daniel says, you know, keep your glory. Now, so we have this king, this son is who is given. Then we have the prophecy of Daniel that talks about this king, this rock, this stone that is going to fill the whole earth. Hasn't he filled the whole earth? Hasn't he filled the whole earth? Amen. The name of Jesus You know what we here? You know one thing we do here, and I realize there are places in the earth that, you know, have not heard the name of Jesus. That's why we're still here, aren't we? We're still here to preach the name of Jesus. But I tell you what, every first world, every industrialized, every modern nation, maybe some of the ones that are way back in the woods haven't, but every modern nation, because they're communicating with us, they have the internet, they have communications between phones and what all, and television and news and everything, they stop right now. Whether the true birth of Jesus was in April, or when it was in September, the one they set it for and advertised it for with Santa Claus and everything else is right now. And how many know the whole world stops right now? Doesn't it? The whole world stops because the angels are declaring Jesus has come. Jesus, the Christ, has come. Now, whether you believe it or not, you deal with that. But the whole earth stops because of Christmas, doesn't it? I mean, whether they like it or whether they don't. I mean, in India, if they got internet, I mean, they're buying on Amazon. Well, yeah, but that's not Christmas. No, but they know that there is a reason that we stop, and it's Jesus Christ. How powerful is that? There's always a witness. God's got a witness in the world. Amen. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 23. We'll be in Jeremiah for a couple of minutes. Jeremiah 23. Verse 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A branch is an offshoot of the tree, right? And Jesus is the branch. He's called the branch. That I will raise to David, King David, a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment. There it is again. Judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he will be called the Lord our righteousness.
Lord.
Jehovah Tzidkenu is the Hebrew. The Lord our righteousness. So, by faith through him who has been crucified and raised again for us, he is our righteousness. He has turned our sin and our condemnation into justification and righteousness. He is the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 31, just a couple of pages here. Jeremiah 31, 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He says, the days are coming when I'm making a new covenant. Verse 34, no more shall every man teach his neighbor, because they have a law now, you know. Here, you're talking about Jeremiah. Yeah, in the days of Jeremiah, they're under the law of Moses, right? Under the law of Moses. But he says, I'm going to make a new covenant with them, with my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, verse 34, and every man his brother, saying, wagging their finger in his nose, know the Lord. You there, brother, know the Lord. They'll no longer do that, because they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin will I remember no more. Hallelujah. He is the Lord, our righteousness. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin will I remember no more. How many know God doesn't remember your sin? What sin? Sin? What sin? The sin, the power of sin, the sin that separated you from Him. Now you have a body that still sins. It's kind of like residual. But the sin nature, if you have received Christ Jesus, the sin nature is gone. Now, there's a residual sin in the body, right? That's why the body in 1 Corinthians 15, the body has to be changed. The body has to be changed, doesn't it? Your old body is falling off. You know why it's sick and dying? It's because it's a sin body. There's sin in the earth. There's briars and thistles. You know? Your body is just not going to hold up. The whole world is groaning. Oh, God, including you. God, when are we going to get this kingdom thing going?
Praise the Lord.
All right? Their sins will I remember no more. And look over in verse chapter 33. Chapter 33, probably just one page. And he says again, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. This is, 33, verse 14. Jeremiah 33, 14. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform the good thing, that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. Behold, the days are coming that I will perform. This is Jeremiah. Verse 15, in those days, at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch. Sounds like the previous verse in 31. He shall execute, or in 23. I will cause to grow up David a branch. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. And in those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called. Israel will be called. The Lord, our righteousness. So he said right there, behold, the days are coming. Well, guess what? In the fullness of time, Jesus came, born of a virgin. In the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a virgin. In the fullness of time, at the right time. I mean, he promised him way back there in Genesis chapter 3. What took you so long? Then we had to have this law thing. Well, the law thing was just to keep you in, keep your flesh in check, wasn't it? But at the same time, it was to demonstrate. It wasn't about keeping the law. It was about making a sacrifice and demonstrating that the sacrifice of blood was the only thing that could keep you, because you were going to sin. The law said you did sin. And then at the end of the year, for Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, you know, they never skipped one, right? They didn't skip a Day of Atonement. They didn't skip one. Well, until the temple got destroyed and they had to rebuild it and redo things. But until they forsook the Lord. But that law was there to demonstrate that there was sin in you. Finish the program, and that sin had to be atoned for by blood. That was the process. It wasn't about keeping the law. Keeping the law was never it. It was the sacrifice. That was it. The thing was forgiveness of sin by blood sacrifice. That was it. You never were going to keep the law. You were never going to be justified by keeping the law. The law just showed you that you had to bring a sacrifice. And Jesus, in those days, in the fullness of time, Jesus continually kept people from killing each other and destroying the nation, generally, and yet continuously kept in front of the people the blood sacrifice, and a perfect sacrifice was coming. That was the purpose of the law. That was the purpose of the law. Is to show that Jesus is coming. And guess what? Jesus came. And then after God has not rebuilt the temple because there was no need. Because Jesus has once for all given himself and shed his blood for our sins. And all we do is receive his sacrifice because he is the Lord, our righteousness. Hallelujah. God is so good.